God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 17, the second part of verse 10 through verse 15. God is speaking to Nathan the prophet. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are ended, you will go to be with your fathers, and I will raise up your seed after you from your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my mercy from him, as I took it from the one who was before him. But I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever. His throne shall be established forever. All of these words, everything that was in the vision, Nathan repeated to David. The conclusion of the church has always been that these verses describe the coming Messiah. And to look at the details in this passage and the verses that follow will show that this view is exactly right. First, in verse 11, God tells David that the one he is talking about will be your seed, that is, descendant, from your own sons. Grammatically, your seed and from your own sons is not the same as from among your own sons. It shows that the descendant being described can be applied to Solomon in the near future in some ways, but not in every way. In fact, the true identity must come from a descendant through David's sons. Second, in the same line of thought, we should remember that only in Matthew's account of the genealogy of Christ is the Savior from Solomon's line, that is Matthew 1:6. That genealogy is usually seen to be the line of Joseph, who was Jesus' adoptive father, legally. But by blood, Luke tells us that Jesus came through another of David and Bathsheba's sons, Nathan, not the prophet, but Nathan the child. That's Luke 3:31, comparing it to 1 Chronicles 3:5 and 1 Chronicles 14:4. Third, this son of David would build the temple, verse 12. But Jesus also said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days," John 2:19. The true temple there is the body of Christ. The true spiritual temple is the body of Christ that we call the Holy Christian Church, which was also built by Christ and his gospel. That's Matthew 16:18. Fourth, in this son of David, God would establish his throne forever. Verses 12 to 14, Solomon's throne lasted a while, but in a sense it vanished when the kingdom was torn from his son Rehoboam's hands shortly after Solomon's death. That's 1 Kings 11, 31-33. Fifth, the son of David in this prophecy would have a father-son relationship with God. And Jesus said, "I stand with the Father who sent me," John 8:16. "And I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it," John 12:49, and many things like that. Sixth, in verse 13, God says, "I will never take my mercy from him." What happened to Saul, the one who was before you, would not happen with this son of David. Seventh, finally, God's kingdom and God's house endure. And so does the rule of David's son over God's house and kingdom. That's verse 14. All of these things point to the son of David being the Messiah, Christ Jesus, rather than Solomon. If Solomon lines up with any of these points, it is only in a partial passing sense, and not in the true and precise sense of the text. In an upcoming verse, verse 17, we will also see that the Father describes both the human and divine natures of the Son. Here it may also help some readers to see the difference between the four occurrences of the word establish in verses 11, 12, and 14. Three of these are forms of the verb kun, to stand or to set up. In verse 11, the Lord uses the hifil stem, which means to establish in the sense of preparing something, such as preparing rain to fall on the earth, Psalm 147:8, or preparing meat for the table, Genesis 43:16. With the throne as the object, it seems to mean getting the throne ready for use, to set up a place from which to reign, as we have in Psalm 103:19. In verse 12, the Lord uses the polale stem, a variation of the pale, which often carries a repetitive idea or the concept of aim or intention. The polale is required here on account of the way the word is formed, but it means to set something firmly in its place, the way the Lord set the heavens right where he wanted them, Proverbs 3:19, or the earth itself, Isaiah 45:18. Here the lasting permanence of the throne of the Messiah is meant, and so the use of the polale is probably what I would call resultative, showing the aim and finalized form of the Lord's work rather than the process, which is sometimes the case with the pale. In the first part of verse 14, the Lord uses a different verb that I have also translated established. The NIV says set, and the EHV says cause him to stand. This is the work of a man setting another man in place in a position of power and authority. And in the second part of verse 14, the Lord returns to the verb kun, this time in the passive nephal stem, simply to show that the Father was the one who did this, and that the duration of the established throne will therefore be permanent in the absolute sense, forever. Compare David's desire in Psalm 119, verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were steadfast." The kun there means established or unchangeable. The Lord's answer focuses so far on David's descendant, the Savior, and not on the temple David had in mind. The Lord's thought is ever on his great design, seeing beyond our limited plans, however grand they might seem to us. The greatest we can give is small in God's eyes, except when we give selflessly, from the heart, in love and kindness. These are the gifts he cherishes the most, more than marble or gold or skyrocketing to the stars. Love one another, 2 John 1:5, is such a simple thing to say, such a great and towering thing to do. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.